Welcome to This Andorian Life, a Star Wars podcast from the Radio Meanwhile Network. My name is Steve Rudd.
I'm Nick Gunning, and today we're following the Ewoks from Return of the Jedi to the TV movies, cartoons, the comics, and beyond.
And beyond, yeah. So today we are discussing Ewoks comics issue number 7, The Perilous Laughing Spell. This issue hit the stands on February 4th, 1986. We were wee boys.
Yes. Today's issue is illustrated by Warren Kremer, written by David Manick. It was collected in the softcover by Dark Horse in the Star Wars Omnibus Ewoks and Droids. David Manick is our featured creative today. He was apparently the go-to guy when it comes to adapting 80s TV into comic books, because he worked on the Elf series based on the NBC sitcom. It ran for 50 issues plus several specials. It outlasted the actual show itself. It was
Did it really hit?
The Elf comic was like a huge seller, apparently. And David Manick was there the whole journey with Elf. He has a really active website. You can check it out at davemanick.com. You can get commissions done. You can ask questions. It's a cool website. So check it out.
That is cool. I yeah. remember Elf being like, I remember that being very popular.
Oh, yeah.
When I was young. I don't know. Yeah. Something about it. Like, just people really loved Elf.
Yeah. I've got a little Elf. Remember Pizza Hut? Or I think it was Pizza Hut. Had those Elf puppets. I've got an Elf puppet. Like, I can see it right now where I'm sitting. So, yeah.
Oh, man. That's really funny.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, what a crazy Elf show.
Elf also had an animated series. So when the time comes that we finish Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's after the Dukes of Hazzard cartoon and Back to the Future or whatever we'll do. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, the Back to the Future was what, like one or two seasons?
It was two seasons.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Isn't that crazy how that, like that, I mean, these shows like really date a person when they're like, oh, yeah, I remember Alf. And I'm like, I immediately know how old you are.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
And we're gonna get along, you know? It's just like really funny. Just like, oh, yeah, I loved Alf.
Yeah, Elf holds up. Elf holds up.
Who hated Alf?
Yeah, I saw an episode of Elf not that long ago, just like flipping through the channels or something, and I watched a little bit of it, and I was like, yeah, it's still funny. It still works.
It's still funny. Yeah. It's,
yeah.
Yeah. It's timeless. It's timeless.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Shall I take us out?
Yeah.
All right. The uber detailed plot of Ewoks number 7, The Perilous Laughing Spell. Wicket, Tebow, and Nissa take time out of collecting honeymelons to take a dip in their favorite swimming hole. But instead of joining them, Tebow decides to work on his poem. He wanders off and discovers a bluebird laughing hysterically. Quick to anger, Tebow thinks the bird is laughing at his poem, but the bird flies off, leaving a tail feather behind in Tebow's hand. He stashes the feather in his hat as a treasure for defending his creativity and is suddenly affected.
Oh.
So Wicket and Nissa discover Tebow laughing hysterically and bouncing around the forest, not carrying his basket of melons. Instead of helping them, he causes the melons to scatter everywhere. Wicket and Nissa can tell Tebow is under some sort of spell, so they try and stop him before he hurts himself. Tebow makes it back to the village first, where he completely destroys, instead of helping Nito build his new hut, laughing the whole time. When the hut collapses, Tebow emerges from the heap, while Nito, instead of being outraged, begins to laugh himself, but quickly catches himself. Tebow terrorizes others in the village, who all report to Chief Chirpa to complain. One of the Ewoks spots Tebow climbing through a window, and a tussle ensues to try and capture him. That's mixed with hysterical laughter from everyone. Even Wicket cracks up when he tries to seize his friend. Nissa and Logray burst in quickly, separating everyone from Tebow. Logray removes the enchanted feather, but is afraid doing so won't fully cure Tebow. The only cure he can think of is from a being located at the top of Mount Sorrow, whose tears reverse spells just like this. They set off immediately as Tebow's laughs are starting to hurt.
Oh.
They begin with Tebow tied to a rope, but he quickly pranks them by tying a stone to the rope just for fun.
Yeah, they're trying to pull him up the cliff by holding onto the rope. And I'm like, are they killing Tebow right now? What's happening?
Yeah, like they're hanging him. Like,
yeah, that's that is what it looked like. 100%.
Yeah, won't feel bad.
Yeah.
Of course, he's got like a foot and a half of that rope on the other side of his hand. Like,
he does.
If he slips, and like that's Tebow's gone.
Yeah.
Right? But it's just a rock, right? So that's convenient.
Classic.
So they all reach the top of the mountain and are greeted by the peak. Who speaks to them? saying that if Tebow is worthy, then he will weep for him. When little weird, but okay. When yes. Tebow gets close, the mountain starts to laugh, and the peak says Tebow is unworthy for nearly destroying him and insulting him. Wicket and Nisa try and argue, but it's no use. The peak begins to blow them away. Fearing for his friends' lives, Tebow quickly saves Wicket and Nisa from being blown off the side of a nearby cliff. Tebow suggests they leave, even though the tears could help him, because he would rather spend the rest of his life under a spell than risk losing his friends. Suddenly, Tebow is drenched from above. Tebow gets up mad, and Wicket realizes Tebow's no longer laughing. They all look at the peak, who is sobbing, because he's never seen anyone more worthy of his tears. They thank the peak and begin to leave. Tebow now feels wonderful again and expresses he has an idea for a great poem, but both Wicket and Nisa cover his mouth, embarrassed. Tebow claims he was just kidding. Roll credit.
So we're learning for the first time today that Tebow loves poetry and is always writing poetry.
Apparently, yeah.
They're like classic
quite a bit.
Tebow. Yeah. You know, we were talking about Jack Kirby in our last comic book episode because of like the headdress of the guy, remember? This yeah. like living mountain man, the way the mountain man looks and the whole thing is very Kirby-esque, like the Eternals or
really?
Something. Yeah.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Like so I wonder, because we saw like, you know, George Rossos and others who are involved in this were like working with Marvel in the Kirby era. So I wonder if maybe they are pulling some inspirations, because it's been a couple things now where we've both kind of pointed out, yeah, that looks like Jack Kirby.
Yeah, Jack Kirby. I mean, he's really influenced the industry.
True.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It'd be hard not to, I guess, make some homages there.
I mean, you see a guy like that and you're immediately like, yeah, he's the villain.
Yeah.
Look at him. He's yeah, the yeah. You just know, right?
You
know.
Do. Always love to get a new Ewok, a new named Ewok. Yeah. So we
apparently
got Netto.
He's grumpy too, right?
Yeah,
Netto.
He's the most curmudgeonly Ewok that there is. Maybe he'll come back. Who knows? Maybe he'll be in more comics. We don't. There's like a mother and daughter that we meet. They don't get names.
They don't get names. No.
They're like, come, daughter.
Does,
yes, mother.
He does spill over somebody's honey. That's mentioned, but we don't see who it is until the people who are. We don't see that scene.
Yeah.
But we see like the people that he did it to.
Right.
When they all complain.
His victims.
Yeah, we see the victims. Yeah, yeah. Which I think is actually kind of clever. I thought I was like, oh, I didn't see that. And I like flipped back and then I flipped forward and I was like, oh, yeah. We only saw three people, but there's like six
people. Yeah,
there's
a bunch of people.
That complain. Yeah, yeah. So it's like, I thought that was like, that's clever.
The director's cut of this issue is just off the wall.
Yeah. It's like 17 more pages.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a black and white, too. It's a Snyder cut.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. I thought that was cool. I like that we got a little bit of village action. We saw, I feel like this is the most Ewoks we've ever seen in one place.
Yeah,
and they were pretty unique too. So you know, we're still doing the muted colors, but I felt like they did some interesting things with blues and stuff with the other Ewoks that it was kind of atypical. I felt like Tebow looked like Wicket the entire time. Like they colored him the way Wicket is colored.
Yeah, the coloring's still a little. You're right. That's interesting. Isn't that funny how you were like we catch those things?
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
He's like.
Well, it just stood out to me this time because it was confusing, but. What did you think of the episode overall? Hit me with your Oak of Arc moment. What was your least favorite?
Man, so, all right. It really bothered me that a being with the power to cure spells like this, Logray was like, I've only ever heard of this.
Yeah.
And it's like, you mean these kids go and find it? You've never in your life, as the shaman of this village, have gone out to inspect it yourself and gone to this peak. And know that it's not just a being, but it's literally the peak of the mountain itself.
Yeah.
In case you need to cure a spell like this. To me, that was just like,
never
what?
Checked it out. To go one further there, I thought it was funny that they were just like, yeah, so why don't you children go and cure Tebow? Like, no adults went with them.
Yeah, like,
you know
no
I mean?
One cared. No
usually
one cared.
Usually when something like this happens, there's a reason why. It's just the kids going. But this time the adults were like, just have at it,
like,
you know?
He's like,
we're
I've
a couple
heard
years
of this.
In, just...
But, don't even bother. Like, we didn't get, like, the end of that conversation. He was just like, oh, yeah,
sure.
like...
Yeah.
And, of course, the kids are like, well, we need to set out right away, you know? And
they
it's just like...
take off, yeah.
And it I mean, what bothered me too was that, like, they, Tebow's laughs started to hurt at the end of the second part. And they never went into details and, like, I thought, oh, that's compelling. Like, now his laughing is hurting.
Yeah.
You know? So like, my other oak of arc is like, well, I mean, like, what happens to the bird then? Does it just die of laughter? Like
I was wondering, like, is, because the other people, like, laugh, they had their laughing fits and then they got over it, and Tebow didn't. So I guess it was the feather. And then is it that Tebow's kind of sticks because he had the feather too long?
I think so. And that's kind of what I gathered. Okay. Yeah, that everyone was, like, the magic just kind of rubbed off on people slightly.
But he really settled in. So, yeah, okay.
And so, like, okay. But then the bird, like, you know, I guess, like, the spell was on the bird, but the whole bird was under the spell, which is, like, a weird. So it's like the spell.
Oh, I thought the bird caused it.
I mean, did he? I thought the bird was under the spell.
I thought the magic came from the bird, but maybe I'm just making that up. Maybe that's just my brain trying to give it. I thought it was a magical bird.
That's totally not how I interpreted that, but that's.
So I guess because, like, Logray or somebody calls it a loony bird, I thought they were. I thought we were supposed to
calling him that because he was referencing that he was just laughing. So that makes a lot more sense now. Okay. That's why he knew it was the feather. Because when I was reading, I was just like, what? How do you know that was a feather? Like,
so I think it is. So that's something. Yeah.
Okay. That makes a lot more sense. So the bird does not die. It just laughs.
Yeah. And infects.
But then, like, I think that would have been an interesting and compelling part of the story if, like, you know, Tebow was like, wow, like, I'm really starting to hurt, you know, like, physically, you know, and it was just like, oh, you know, like, Tebow could die, you know, and I think that would have been better for them to be like, oh, you know, like, I know the village elders think, like, you'll be okay, but it seems like you're not, you know, because clearly Logray wasn't necessarily familiar.
Right. I've heard something about it. I don't know.
And I've, like, heard it could be cured, but, you know, I don't know. You know, it's all kind of, like, hearsay. So, like, you know, I mean, I guess that's a good thing, too, because then the kids take their initiative. But what about you? What bothered you about this?
Mine is about the finale as well. I just found the whole, like, sentient mountain who, like, was moved to tears with the power of their friendship as the cure. I just thought that was really stupid. I have to give them props for not just being like, you have to go get a flower from the top of that mountain, because that's been done to death. So, like, having this sort of magical creature that, like, weeps tears that fix spells. I don't know. It was something, like, it was more than just like, go get this one plant that only grows on this part of the, you know. But I still thought his whole thing, he's like, oh, yes, you've proved your worth. And I just thought it was very corny.
That it was almost like they had this character slated for something else where there was a three-part issue where they're like, Wicked, I heard there's this being that, like, can decide if you're worthy or not. And he's like, I want to go. And he goes and he's deemed not worthy. And then the second part, he goes and he does something that deems him worthy. And then the third part, they go and he's deemed worthy. We're like, it's almost like they shunted in the ending to another trilogy into this trilogy because it had nothing to do with the first two issues.
That actually kind of rolls into my Ichiwawa moment. Shall I share it with you?
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I liked the structure of this because I felt like we have three acts, you know, we have three little sections within this one issue. And I felt like each one represented one of the different kinds of episodes that we've gotten, like, over the years. We had the they're out in the forest and they stumble into trouble episode. Then we have the, oh no, something's afoot in the village. We have to solve this thing in the village episode.
Chaos.
And then we had the, oh, the kids have to go on a scary journey to a magical land thing. So I kind of liked that we got all three types of Ewok stories in one issue, you know?
That is a really good point, actually. That's funny. This one, because when I was reading it, I did feel like, One of the parts I was like, oh, that would have been a really good episode.
Yeah.
I think maybe it was the first one where I was like, oh, that would, like, that just feels like it would have been a part of a, you know, like an episode, you know?
Yeah. So I like that it was a mix of the three. What about you? What's your Ichiwawa moment?
Mine was, you know, of course, Tebow's love for his friends. I thought that was like well written, where he was just like, you know what, I'm willing to, you know, like after his seeing his friends die and saving them, he's just like, you know what, I'm willing to live with this.
Yeah,
you know, let's not worry about it, because like Tebow and Nisa like tried to vouch for him, and the mountain was like, no, you know, blows him away. And so he's like, you know, forget it, guys. You know, I'm okay with giggling every once in a while.
Yeah, I'd rather stay like this and have you guys. Yeah. So, you're right. It was cute. It was
pretty cool. Yeah.
It was a tender moment. So, yeah. Here's a question we don't ask very often anymore. Was there a moral lesson, do you think?
I'm going to say a big fat no.
Okay.
I don't think there's a moral lesson on it.
Yeah, that's why we don't ask the question anymore. Because
it is kind of funny, though, that they like, covered his mouth like, the poetry had anything to do with anything.
I know. I thought that too. It was you like, know? It's not like the poetry like, is what got him in trouble. Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought that was like a weird flex, okay. But like, okay. Like, you know.
I mean, I suppose if he wasn't doing the poetry, he would have been just swimming with them and none of this would have happened. So maybe that's the tie-in. I don't know.
Yeah.
How many yum-dums do you give this one?
I don't know. I thought this one was pretty good, but I think I'd give this one a solid 4. I wasn't super impressed, but I really had to find something I didn't like, you know? Okay. I mean, I feel like my Oak of Arcs are, like, fairly weak, you know? Yeah. Like, low grade didn't know where to find a cure. For, you know, like, that's really not, like, okay, that's, like, extraneous.
You love your niche Oak of Arcs. Don't pretend.
Yeah, yeah. Like so I'd say I'd give it a 4 because I wasn't, like, super impressed, but I did think that it would have been a fairly good episode. And I feel like if it maybe were an actual animated episode, I'd probably give it a higher score, just because it would have been very entertaining as a you know, a 20-minute length episode or a 15-minute you know, length episode. What about you?
Yeah, I'm gonna go lower. I'm gonna say 3.5. It just I don't really have much to say negative about it. It just kind of washed over me. Maybe if there would have been more of a villain in it, like if somebody had sort of cast a spell, I don't know. Maybe I would have liked that better. Maybe that would have worked with the sort of the 3-act structure that they did in this.
Attracts.
I don't know.
Yeah, because that's what we're used to.
It's just fine, is what I'd say. It's just fine. So
it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, I learned a devastating fact after our last episode. Remember how we were talking about droids and we're like, oh, finally we're done with Mungo Baobab and we can just move on to this little standalone droids. Nope. Instead, next time, Steve, we'll be traveling back in time for the first Star Wars prequel, Droids the Great Heap, which is a prequel to the Mungo Baobab episodes.
So you're telling me we're going to get more Mungo Baobab?
More Mungo. Yeah. Why? Like, how confusing would that have been for like a child at the time? And why do we need more Mungo, you know?
I don't know. I need less. Oh, man. Out of all of them, Jan Tosh, I feel like, was one of the better ones.
And we all like Jan. Yeah.
Jan Tosh was good.
Not the rat tail bikers, but Jan Tosh, I think we liked. We liked that overall.
Not those guys. The White Witch drivers. Yeah, I didn't like
those guys
at all. So unmemorable. They're just the White Witch drivers. Yeah.
Yep.
I remember
the speeder. If you're So if you're watching along with us, The Great Heap on Disney Plus is listed as like season 2. It's the only thing that's in season 2. It's available in other places too if you look hard enough. But we are going to be talking about The Great Heap, and that will bring our journey on the Droids cartoon to a close.
Oh, man.
So Steve, I'll see you next time.
I'll see you then. This Enduring Life was brought to you by the Radio Meanwhile Network. Other shows on the network include 90s Music Got Me Like, previously on X-Men, and 9021 Here We Go. Share your thoughts on this and upcoming episodes by following us on Facebook or X at Endorian Life. And please rate, subscribe, and share the show wherever you get your